You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
It's time for Make the Call, a weekly discussion on the top Wisconsin sports stories of the week. You can listen to the show anytime on the free Civic Media app. Download it now on your device's app store or at civicmedia.us/app. Now, it's time for Make the Call, a Civic Media sports production.
Welcome into Make the Call on the Civic Media Sports Network. I'm Jimmy Cuska, and thank you for joining us this Saturday as we get ready for another big football weekend across the state of Wisconsin. Make the Call is a panel show, and today's panel includes our regulars, Conrad Krieger, hanging out in Green Bay. Conrad, what's up?
Hey, how's it going?
Up in the frosty north, it's Gray Gunderson at Park Falls. Gray, it is cold out.
I am shivering. If you can't tell, it's a good camera.
And we head to Madison and Parker Olson in the state capital. Parker, how's it going?
I had to scrape the ice off the car today, and I didn't have the ice scraper.
Well, what I learned is that there's such a thing as freezing fog here in the valley, and everything was coated in ice for like 4 hours this morning. We are here at the start of Make the Call. We have a Bucks segment today. Jordan Tresky, author of Building the Milwaukee Bucks, saw the story of the Bucks' first championship in the 1970s. But we start the show with our top 7 at 7 on Make the Call. And we start at number 7. It's baseball themed. Are you watching the World Series? Gray.
I don't plan to, but I will say if I accidentally find myself watching it, if I stop at somewhere who is watching it, I might look a little closer because it is the World Series. So I'll be a bit more curious, but generally no.
Conrad.
I am not, the Brewers aren't in it, so I'm still a little sad and I don't want to watch the Dodgers.
All right, Parker, how about you?
Not must-see viewing, but I'll watch a little bit. I will admit this is the most likable Dodgers team I think we've had in a while, so it might be worth watching without like going, ugh.
Who could root for the Dodgers, man?
All I'm right, number rooting.
Six
Just saying.
Is a new part of our top 7 at 7 this week. It's a Would You Rather Saturday here for Make the Call. Would you rather Brandon McManus or Lucas Haversick? Let's start with Conrad.
We just paid McManus, so I'm going to say McManus. It's cool having this guy come in and making these kicks, but we got to stay with our guy.
Parker, kicker or kicker?
Kicker. Thank you. I'll be here all week. I think I like staying with the hot hand. It's so hard to find a good kicker. I almost worry McManus won't be the same when we come back. I'm going to go with keep the new guy.
That moves us over to Gray. Gray, McManus or Haversick?
I'm afraid I'm a bet hedger. I agree with both of these guys. I wish we could keep Haversick, but the money we just paid McManus makes him the obvious choice. That said, we are about to see a wave of kickers who couldn't fit in the league before. The new K-ball rules might mean guys like Haversick stick around, so he'll get a job regardless. We got to keep McManus, though.
Number 5 in our top 7 at 7. It's a good question for all of us who have followed the Packers for a very, very long time. And that is, what is your favorite Aaron Rodgers moment? Of course, the Packers play the Steelers in Sunday Night Football. Parker, your favorite Aaron Rodgers moment?
I really wish I could remember the Super Bowl well, but I was a little young for that. Yeah.
The awkward silence is just us all being old and not really being able to come up with a response there.
I'm terribly sorry about that. I do think my favorite Rodgers moment, though, screaming, "I still own you" at the Bears, that just always brings a smile to my face.
That's valid. Gray, your favorite Aaron Rodgers moment?
I'm super glad Parker picked that one because I wanted to, but I couldn't bring myself to say it. I try not to talk trash. I'll tell you straight up that I don't remember what game, what year, what team we were playing, but Rodgers caught somebody with 12 men on the field, and they did that thing where they cut to the coach on the sideline, no microphone, but you could read his lips, and he said, "You know he catches it every something time." And it just, I can see that in my mind. It's beautiful. I love it.
The self-censorship there is just awesome, by the way.
All right. Had to happen.
Let's go to Conrad. What's your favorite Aaron Rodgers moment?
It's got to be when I was 11 years old and we won the Super Bowl with, you know, not having that big of a chance in the playoffs when we started, you know, and we beat the Bears during that run. So it was just an awesome time.
11 years old. So there's me in the media workroom for that Super Bowl, being old as I am. All right, let's move up to number 4. It's another Would You Rather. And this goes to everybody once again. Should the Bucks stay the course with Giannis with the remainder of his contract, or are we ready to blow this thing up for Milwaukee? Let's go to Gray.
Eat the frog. That's a concept some people know. If you know you've got to eat the frog, you eat the frog now. Yes, we might be able to have some qualified success in the meantime. But if we know a rebuild's coming, I say start now.
All right, Conrad, how about you?
I would have to say Giannis is your franchise guy. You got to keep him around. You got to keep him happy. Build around him.
They've tried that with two of his brothers now under contract. Let's go to Parker. Parker, what's your take on this?
I usually am in favor of going long term and making sure that your future is bright, but Giannis is a generational guy, especially for this Bucks team. I think you have to ride him out as much as possible.
Number three in our top seven at seven. We're going to switch gears to the Badgers. They play tonight against Oregon. So would you fire Luke Fickell if the Badgers are non-competitive tonight, knowing the bye week is coming up next week? Let's go to Conrad.
I would have fired him against Iowa and we are not competitive against them. But, you know, I'll say this. If it was up to me, he'd be gone tomorrow, you know? So that's what I'll say.
All right, let's move over to Parker.
I think Fickell, he's safe after today, no matter what. I think if he's not competitive against Washington, then he's gone, in my book.
Gray, how about you?
Hard agree there with Parker in this case, simply because there is a little bit of a more reasonable yardstick there in Washington. That said, the Badgers have not been competitive even against their lower ranked or unranked opponents this season, so it's difficult for me to justify, say, wait another week. I'd probably bust them loose.
All right, number two in our top seven at seven. It's another would you rather, our final one for this Saturday. The Brewers are set up, as they've been for the last few years, as contenders for a while with all the young talent, but we got to ask this. Would you rather the Brewers be kind of in the hunt in the playoffs, not an overwhelming favorite for the next 5 years, or would you rather they go all in on a one-year run? Parker.
I said it earlier. I'm going to say it again. I'm normally a long-term kind of guy, and this is the answer that I'm actually giving you. I think long-term is where we need to focus. The Brewers do. They're bound to break the seal eventually with one of these teams. I'd say keep going for those 5 years. You don't have to go all chips in on 1 year and then blow up the next four.
Gray, how about you?
This time I'm going to leave it at agreeing with Parker. That seems to be the more reasonable option between the two, though both of them, I will say, have their merits more than they normally would. You know, normally there's a huge difference here and there's a big argument, but honestly, the difference here might not be as big as it sounds.
All right, Conrad?
I'm going to say we waited long enough. All right, we still don't have a World Series. Let's take a chance and go all in a year and try to win against these Dodgers because we know we're going to face them again. So all in.
All right, number one in our top seven at seven. This is 10 seconds or less. Your predictions. Packers, Steelers, Sunday Night Football, Parker.
Packers win. Micah Parsons, two sacks. Put him in the ground.
Oh, nice. All right, Conrad.
I'm going to say we win, and Josh Jacobs is going to have 150 yards and two tutties.
Great.
One of my main metrics that I want to see is I want the Packers to take advantage of a very porous Steelers defense that's giving up almost 400 yards per game right now. And I want to see that happen in the form of I want them overwhelmed. I want these Steelers looking like they don't know what they do. I want Jalen Ramsey talking smack because he doesn't get it done on the field. I want Matthew Golden and I want Christian Watson on deep routes. I want to see things that only exist in my dreams. More realistically, though, Packers 27, Steelers 23, and it's going to come down to the end of the game.
Those are our Packers panel predictions going into tomorrow night's game with the Steelers. Right now, we turn it over to Mike Clemens for a quick sports report. On the other side, Jordan Tresky, author of Building the Milwaukee Bucks, will join us talking some Bucks after this segment. But first, here's an update from Mike Clemens.
A busy weekend in sports. Good morning, I'm Mike Clemens in Pittsburgh, where the Packers will be arriving later today. They play the Steelers here tomorrow night. We begin with the NBA. The Bucks with a win over the Raptors in Toronto last night, 122-116 in favor of Milwaukee. Only the second game of the season, and Giannis Antetokounmpo with a double-double, scoring 31 points and 20 rebounds, but he was excited for the Bucks newcomer, Cole Anthony, who added 23 points in the victory.
Incredible. He played very, very well previous game. You know, when he's decisive and he's aggressive and he's able to get downhill and get to his spot, it just opens up a lot of things for everybody.
The Bucks road trip continues in Cleveland tomorrow night when they face the Cavaliers, tip-off time at 5 p.m. Baseball, a surprise upset. The Blue Jays beat the Dodgers 11-4 in Game 1 of the World Series in Toronto. Game 2 coming up later tonight, first pitch at 7 o'clock. The Brewers announcing this week that general manager Matt Arnold has been promoted. He's now the Brewers president of baseball operations.
I've never really been focused on titles at all. Honestly, it's just been something where you keep your head down and you work hard and good things will happen.
And when asked about the future of veteran pitcher Brandon Woodruff, Arnold would only say it would be an important off-season decision. Brewers manager Pat Murphy, who led the team to the best record in baseball during the regular season, but got swept by the Dodgers in the playoffs in L.A.,
from my world, I felt like we did not put our best foot forward in that series. And I think it would have made some difference. But the Dodgers were on it. And you know when a team is on it. And we, the balls we did hit hard, for instance, got caught.
College football. The Badgers are in Eugene, Oregon to take on the number 6th-ranked Oregon Ducks. The kickoff tonight at 6 p.m. Wisconsin trying to snap a 5-game losing streak after losing to Ohio State 34-0. Fans again at Camp Randall Stadium calling for Luke Fickell to be fired. The head coach asked about it during the week.
It's not going to change the fact that we got to practice tomorrow. It's not going to change the fact of anything on Saturday. I guess you just let everybody else kind of deal with those things. I have not been told. I'm not worried about that. I mean, I understand, you know, if we don't meet expectations and we don't do the things we need to do, anything can happen.
Now, athletic director Chris McIntosh issuing a statement saying Fickell will remain the head coach and that the program is seeking more funding to be more competitive in the Big Ten. NFL, tomorrow night, it's the Packers and the Steelers on Sunday Night Football. Game time at 7:20. Steelers head coach Mike Tomlin says his team is focused on two Packers players, defensive end Micah Parsons and running back Josh Jacobs.
Looking at Green Bay's offense, you know, it starts with Josh Jacobs. And not only because of the circumstances that we're in coming off of a subpar performance in terms of stopping a run, but he's just a catalyst for a lot that goes on with them. He has just been a big-time acquisition for them. Micah Parsons, can't say enough about him and his talents. You saw just the other day what he's capable of doing, and I think that's really indicative of the impact that a guy like him has.
Tomlin has been the Steelers head coach here now for 19 years. That's the longest run currently in the NFL. I asked Matt LaFleur about Tomlin's success.
I wish we all knew the secret sauce, because he's been the model of consistency and he's used a lot of different people to do it. I know for a long time, obviously, and it's not just about the quarterback, obviously they played really high level defense for many years and that has stayed constant to this day. But when you look at, you know, the post-Ben era, when there's been some musical chairs a little bit at quarterback, they still find a way to get it done. So I think that speaks just to the level that he is able to prepare his team to get ready to go out there and play winning football.
This will be Aaron Rodgers' first game against the Packers since he was traded by Green Bay 3 years ago to the New York Jets. It's the second time he's faced Packers defensive end Micah Parsons when Parsons was with the Cowboys. Rodgers asked, what did he see?
Well, I saw Hall of Fame potential. Obviously, he's fulfilled that. I mean, he's an incredible player. You know, one of the rare guys over all the 21 years I've been a part of it, you know, 18 as a starter, that, you know, you got to account for every play.
Micah Parsons was asked, is it hard not to be fooled by Aaron Rodgers' signals or cadence at the line and jump off sides?
Blue 58! Blue 58!
I don't go to bed thinking about that cadence, you know.
Green 18! Green 99! Hut!
I know I got a tendency to jump off sides, but I tell them I try to help the team. That's just me playing hard. You know, I just hope I just don't cause people in a rough time, you know. I'm going to try not to jump off sides, and I'm going to focus. Like, it's a focus thing more than a his cadence thing. Like,
Blue 58! Blue 58!
I just think when you get tired, you try to make a play. We all make mistakes, but I'm going to try to clean that up, but I'm not worried about it at all.
That's the Packers' Micah Parsons. I'll have reports from Pittsburgh here all weekend with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
That sports update provided by Mike Clemens. We'll have more with Mike coming up later in the show. He got to ask Aaron Rodgers a question during media availability this week. Of course, tomorrow is Steelers-Packers in Sunday Night Football, and Clemens got to ask Rodgers about his favorite memories of playing in Green Bay. Not necessarily the on-the-field things, but some of the fun that they had off of the field. I think you'll enjoy the answer that Mike got from Aaron Rodgers in that media segment. We'll have that coming up later in the show. Coming up a little bit later as well, we are going to hear from Jake Kokorowski of BadgerObserver.com. will preview the Badgers game at Oregon later tonight. But coming up next, we talk Milwaukee Bucks basketball with Jordan Tresky, author of Building the Bucks. We do that coming up next right here on Make the Call, part of the Civic Media Sports Network. Back in a bit.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back to Make the Call on Civic Media.
Welcome back to Make the Call here on the Civic Media Sports Network. I'm Jimmy Kuska, and in this segment, we like to talk to our friends across sports across Wisconsin. And I am joined by Jordan Tresky, who is the author of Building the Milwaukee Bucks, and he's also a podcaster covering the Milwaukee Bucks. Jordan, it's great to talk to you again. I've had you on other Civic Media programs, but it's great to welcome you in formally to our new sports show.
Awesome. I'm happy to be here, and thanks for having me again.
You know, we talked about your book last year as you were getting it finalized and getting it to print. It has gone out. It is up for sale. People can find it. It's in all the usual spots if you want to find Building the Milwaukee Bucks. And I've had a chance to read it. I want to start with this. Just a little background of the book. This was kind of a labor of love situation, a research notes turned into a story situation. Can you tell us a little bit about that origin story and about writing this book?
It was very much inspired by the 21 championship run and being, you know, totally in the present. And I've always been fascinated by Bucks history, wanting to see, like, you know, 50 years. It had been 50 years. So how did this title run, or the most recent one, differ to when they won in 1971? Obviously, circumstances are different. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is the superstar instead of Giannis Antetokounmpo. But it's the Bucks really coming into their own, you know, 3 years after coming into the NBA. And it was just kind of trying to tell a story about Milwaukee sports and how the Bucks kind of played this integral way into kind of revitalizing the sports scene in Milwaukee.
What parallels can you draw between the Bucks of that era and the current era Milwaukee Bucks? Even now, as we've seen now the last few years after the championship, what are some similarities between these two?
Oh, I think my answer has certainly changed over time, but I think you kind of realize, like, when you're in the moment, you just see how, like, it gets really hard to sustain it. You get a lot older, you lose some things that, like, you know, the Bucks were a lot of things are different, like comparing it to like an expansion franchise to a team that was, you know, at the bottom of the barrel of the NBA when Giannis came to town. But the core tenets are still the same. It's really hard to sustain a successful team even when you have one of the best superstars in the league. So I think that's where, like, we can kind of see the life cycle for what it is, and hopefully will change this year with this coming Bucks season. But when the Bucks were trying to do with Kareem, it was like they got Oscar, they got a little older, they didn't have high draft picks, and, you know, some personnel management decisions didn't go their way, but, like, they still had a lot of things break the right way leading up to winning the championship.
Talking to Jordan Tresky, who's author of Building the Milwaukee Bucks. Well, let's talk just about the feedback for your book, because I have to imagine, not just for people who are fans of the Bucks, but for people who like just a look at the history of whether it's the Bucks, the city of Milwaukee, or basketball, or just history in general, it's got to be a pretty cool treat for them. What's the feedback been like for you?
It's been pretty wild. I've gotten to do some fun events like Boswell Book Company, which is downtown Milwaukee. I have upcoming appearances at the Southeastern Wisconsin Festival of Books. That'll be November 8th. I got another book appearance at Lion's Tooth in Bayview. So it's like kind of in that promotion cycle, but Eddie Doucette read the book, which is kind of crazy. He was the original Bucks announcer. So, like, the guy that kind of, I mean, he invented the term bango for three-point shots at the time, but long range jumpers, let's just say. So seeing that is kind of wild. And it was kind of a trip, but, like, just hearing, like, kind of the tentacles of, like, how far it's gone into, like, you know, you kind of breaking through, like, will maybe the team acknowledge it? I don't know if the current team has acknowledged it, but, you know, the people that were of that time and made kind of a, you know, their imprint on the Bucks have certainly acknowledged it, which is more than I could have anticipated, certainly.
You can find Building the Milwaukee Bucks pretty much anywhere you get books, right? You can find it online. You can find it in bookstores, especially, as you mentioned, in Southeastern Wisconsin. And if you want to find out even more information on it, Jordan, you have got a pretty good social media presence, so people are able to find it there as well, at Jordan Tresky on Twitter, if you're so inclined. I do want to talk a little bit about the current Bucks. The season just got underway this week, and I got started with the Chris Middleton reunion. But I think this year, the vibes are a little different in Milwaukee this year, just because they've gone, you know, again, with a roster overhaul. I don't want to call it desperation or anything, but, like, it just seems like they have gone all in on doing everything they can do to please Giannis and keep him in a Bucks uniform, all the way to the point of having two of his brothers sign contracts this year. What is your take just on the Bucks going into this year? Is it just seem like the vibes are different to you?
It's definitely different. I think there is some, I don't think this desperation is too far off of a word, but at the same time, this is a team that, if we're being honest, even with context of injuries that, you know, coming at the worst time during the playoffs, like, this team has underachieved for 3 years. Like, you know, going back to the Heat series where they lost in the first round and became the first number one, or were they? No, not the first number one seed, but still, like, they had the best record in the NBA. They lost in tremendous fashion, and they really haven't been able to kind of reel it back in. I think this time around, though, there's at least some kind of, you know, obviously motivation, but there's some semblance of, like, an idea of what they're trying to build. Like, we kind of saw it late last year when, you know, not coincidentally, Damian Lillard went out, and they went all in on kind of this point Giannis, spacing the shooters, playing super fast, like kind of, you know, modern NBA. The things that they were doing when Mike Budenholzer came to town, you know, 7 years ago, which is just crazy that it's been that long. But I think they're just kind of like, this is our whole identity now. And, you know, we already seen an injury to Kevin Porter Jr. that may be a while, but still, like, I think when they had nothing left to lose, they're just kind of like, all right, this is who we are. And we'll see how, where it can take us in a very kind of weakened Eastern Conference, admittedly.
Jordan Tresky, the author of Building the Milwaukee Bucks, which you can find in bookstores and online. Also, you can find him again on social media at Jordan Tresky. You can find his podcast work there. Jordan, great to talk to you about the Bucks and about your book. Congratulations on that. And I look forward to talking to you again here real soon.
Awesome. Thanks again for having me.
Indeed, the Milwaukee Bucks season has begun off to a 2-0 start, and it's just great to talk basketball again, and Jordan is one of the best at it in talking about the Bucks. He wrote an entire book about it, in fact, and as we've been talking about in this segment, you can find the book, Building the Milwaukee Bucks. It covers the Milwaukee Bucks' first NBA championship back in the 1970s. You can find it wherever you get books, and as Jordan said, he'll be out in about next month at various book events. All right, we move along to our Campus Connection segment. Jake Kokorowski joins us coming up right after this on Make the Call, part of the Civic Media Sports Network.
Welcome back to Make the Call on Civic Media.
Welcome back to Make the Call, the Civic Media Sports Network. Jimmy Kuska here with you and our panel today, Conrad Krieger, Greg Gunderson, and Parker Olson. In this segment, we start by heading out to campus and we head to Madison to talk about the Wisconsin Badgers with Jake Kokorowski of BadgerObserver.com. Jake, thanks for joining us. It's an exciting weekend. I think just in the sense that basketball has gotten underway and people are looking forward to cheering for a good Badgers team again.
Right. And I think that's going to be for Wisconsin fans. Greg Gard's men's basketball program looking good so far. We've had the opportunity to watch. You know, I was able to watch one open practice. Also, the red-white scrimmage this past weekend, and a lot of fans were in the stands too. So I think there's a good buzz about this program where, yeah, you're losing John Tonjay and Steven Crow, but they've added really intriguing forwards like Austin Rapp from Portland, Nick Boyd, and Andrew Rohde, who are guards. But then you also have the returning Nolan Winter, John Blackwell. It should be a really interesting group. And, you know, this is how it is with college basketball now too, where the rosters change a lot more than it used to even, you know, a few years ago. So that's going to be really interesting to watch. And, you know, and going forward, obviously, you know, the exhibition on Friday against Oklahoma, and then, you know, we're wrapping up for the season coming up.
Biggest matchup for the Badgers, obviously, this year is playing UW Platteville on Wednesday in exhibition. But beyond that, it is exciting to see them get to work here. Let's talk about football. They're on the road at Oregon, and I think expectations are pretty low tonight that the Badgers in this game. I don't know that there's any good time to kind of look at things like this, but I know that a lot of fans, including the entire student section, are calling for change. I just don't know that ahead of a bye week this late in the year, that that change, A, financially makes sense, and B, is going to do anything positive kind of moving forward with the Badgers. What is kind of your sense on things and where the Badgers are at football-wise?
Right, and it's the toughest part, too. They're heading into their second bye week. This is, I mean, if there was a time for change, you'd do it during the second bye so that you give everyone time to adjust and go from there, you know, and then you have a week off to kind of gather yourself and make the changes. And then you head straight into what would be preparation for Washington. I haven't heard anything regarding that. You've seen the reports out there, like from my old colleagues at Badger Extra talking about, and it has been confirmed by, you know, players since about the meeting that Chris McIntosh had with players and those tended seem to be positive based off of the reports of, like, you know, fickle job security, but it is something to, you know, I get, you know, throughout the season. I mean, it's going to be interesting to watch. You talked about the student section, you know, you saw they copied the Oklahoma State, you know, shirtless waving thing over in Section O this past weekend. Oklahoma State, they're doing that. They're not doing well right now in the Big 12, and they fired their own coach. So it's going to be interesting just to watch over the next few weeks, just the sense of fans. Are they angry or are they turning more apathetic? I think the questions that I have are just if they're not competitive for these last five games, you know, against Oregon tonight, against Washington, Indiana, Illinois, and then your rival Minnesota. What does that mean? You know, what does that mean for pro? And if they're not going to be competitive, just, you know, what's going to be fans' appetites? What are going to be donors' appetites? What are going to be, just the fan base? You know, and then going into the year, you know, the next year, just what happens, and just where are these kids? You know, like what's the temperature heading into what should be year four with a lighter schedule? And are people going to be, you know, behind the program as much as it should be? So, like I said, I haven't heard anything, and obviously you saw Chris McIntosh with that letter talking about trying to push more into, you know, more money into the investment or whatever into the football program too, to compete at the highest level, something nearly verbatim to that. So, it's a really weird time to be covering Wisconsin football, where you're trying to figure out what's facts, you know, trying to gauge the appetite of just what fans are thinking, what former players are thinking, right? So there's a lot going on that we're trying to figure out, and I'm doing my best over here on BadgerObserver.com.
Jay Kukurowski, BadgerObserver.com. Thanks for your insights on the Badgers program, and we look forward to following your work again this week. Now we head in our Campus Connection segment. We talk about the state colleges, some of the D3 colleges in Wisconsin. We've got a lot of them, but where our expertise tends to lie is with the WIAC, and that's where we bring aboard Parker Olson, who covered UW-Whitewater in his time as a student with the Warhawks there. I myself attended Whitewater for 3 years, but I've also made my rounds to the conference at Eau Claire, Stout, Superior, and of course now at Platteville. I think the game to watch this week, first of all, we'll just start with this in football, that there are six teams all tied at 2-1, and there's a circle complete of teams that have beaten one another in the whole WIAC. I got to watch Platteville kind of have an easy kind of game against La Crosse last week, and now a much more difficult task in having to head over to the Perk and take on Whitewater, and what probably puts one of those two teams on the inside track to a conference championship. Parker, this football game really feels like it's got massive importance for the football on the football end of things, of course, but also nationally.
Absolutely. Yeah. There's so much going on in the WIAC. I mean, it's kind of funny because it feels like every week we're saying this is the biggest game of the year so far, because like you said, there are six teams right now that are tied for first place. The circle of suck is usually what people like to call it. They're all really good, though. There's like four in the top 25 maybe it's more of a circle of success. I don't know. It's kind of weird. Certainly will be an interesting rivalry game here today with Platteville and Whitewater. I think it's going to be a big game in the trenches. See some of the big fellas moving bodies. A couple of teams that like to do the run game.
Yeah, I have my profile picture right now is just me holding a pickaxe, right? It's just something I happened to find last year at Blackville after a football game. But that's what they play for today, the George Chris Memorial Bowl. Just quickly in football, the other games, La Crosse Oshkosh in the later game. That of course, again, there's two 2-1 teams right there. La Crosse looking to bounce back. Oshkosh, it's hard to figure where they're at. They played down to Eau Claire last week. I can't really get a read on whether Oshkosh is good or not, and I got to see them here a week from today. The other games are Eau Claire at River Falls and Stout at Stevens Point. That's in football. Obviously, the other fall sports are cruising right along. We'll have a little bit more on some of the tournaments and postseasons for those sports as they continue to wind their way to the finish. But spoiler alert, the WIAC, not just football, very good in other sports as well. Very quick spin through the WIAC with Parker Olson right there. You can find more, of course, at WIACsports.com. In our final part of this segment, we go through the games upcoming on the Civic Media calendar. And when I look at the weekend, first thing I notice is, you know, we're through the first week of the high school football playoffs. A lot of the 11 player games got done last night. A lot of the level 2 8 player games are today. And we've only got a handful of games and stations kind of going at this point. We do have coverage today of some high school sports, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. We have cross-country coverage coming up in Park Falls later today, and then tonight volleyball postseason coverage as well up on WCQM. So we definitely have postseason going in high school sports across the weekend as well. But I think what we're going to talk about here is we're going to first just start with tonight's game. Just a few minutes ago, talking to Jake Kokorowski about Wisconsin, Oregon. And here's where we'll bring on our full panel. So myself, Jimmy Kuska, along with Parker Olson, Greg Gunderson, and Conrad Krieger. I want to start with Badgers, Oregon tonight, and I'm going to send it out to Conrad first here because I'm curious just on the thoughts of what might be determined a success for the Badgers tonight. Is it just scoring points? Is that a win for the Badgers tonight?
I mean, I would say yes. Even a field goal would feel good for these Badgers, I think. You know, the one thing we had this year in the beginning is the run defense, and it vanished. So maybe just stopping the run, that would be a win too. That would be cool.
Great. I think that if we draw a parallel just in football, I mean, the Badgers are putting the bat in Badgers the last couple of games. They haven't scored in a couple of weeks. And I'm really struggling to find the positives. As a special teams coordinator, I appreciate that their highlight reel lately has been all special teams plays. I'm on board with that. But it's not good long-term for success if that's the only phase you're winning.
Agreed. And I don't want to directly reiterate but what Conrad just said, but I basically will be. I'd take it one step further and say I won't set a goal. I'm not going to say I want to see this or that, even small things like a field goal scored. But I will say that we're looking for decidedly moral victories as opposed to scoreboard victories. And I'm pretty sure if people start making assumptions on what I mean, they'll probably get it right.
All right, let's well, we have that game coming up, 6 o'clock kick, 4 o'clock pregame across Civic Media. We have 5 Badgers football affiliates in our company right now, which is just outstanding. And here's where we'll bring in the full panel. We'll spend the last couple of minutes here just looking at the big game Sunday night. I think when we got the schedules back in the spring, we all had this one circled because this is the return of Aaron Rodgers to play the Packers. And I think this is getting some juice on that account, but also, if you look at the Steelers, there's a million Wisconsin ties on this roster, too. There's a lot of intrigue. T.J. Watt is that painful reminder about drafting Kevin King over him, you know, several years ago. You see Janesville's own Keanu Benton in the middle of the line. You see Nick Herbig. You see, obviously, Rodgers. There's a lot of Wisconsin ties. I'm going to swing it over to Parker first just to get this panel going on the Packers-Steelers. But this is a game I think we've all been looking forward to, Parker.
It definitely has. You kind of just burst my bubble there. I didn't realize that Kevin King is who we drafted instead of T.J. Watt. Oh, man. Oh, that's no. Oh,
I'm
that
sorry,
hurts.
Parker.
Okay. Well, now that I've learned that, certainly is a huge game as one that we had circled from the get-go. It'd be really interesting to see kind of that dynamic, I think, between Matt LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers. I think that could be a really neat meeting of the minds at some point. And frankly, Aaron Rodgers is a chess player on the football field. We know this. I'm really interested to see how he and Matt LaFleur kind of go head to head because you know that the guys are sharing information on the sidelines about what each other are going to do.
Conrad, you've got boots on the ground there in Green Bay. What's the vibe like this weekend?
You know, I think is it a revenge game for Aaron Rodgers? I don't know. It didn't leave on terrible terms. So it's just a fun game. I think that everyone's going to be looking forward to watching. The one thing I want to see is Micah Parsons having a big game again, even though last week he got singled, you know, only one person was blocking him and, you know, 3 sacks. So he'll probably get double teamed this week, but I expect him to maybe have a big game again.
Yeah, Parsons was the NFC Defensive Player of the Week last week. And Gray, we have just about a minute and a half left in the segment, so we're going to swing it to you just for kind of a more analytical look at this game. I mean, in the grand scheme of things, the Packers are sitting pretty well in the division, but the Steelers game, this is a team that's going to give them a pretty good fight, it seems like.
Absolutely. And there are a few coaches I respect more than Mike Tomlin, who's proven several times he can squeeze blood out of a stone. So if you look at any particular defensive unit and say the Packers have an advantage, sure, if things stay the way they have so far this season. I do want to highlight one particular position group for the Steelers. That's the tight ends. If I'm scared of anything, it's their tight ends. They've got four capable tight ends. And of the three that have had nine or more targets, the shortest one is 6'3". We don't have big cornerbacks or big safeties in Green Bay right now, and our nickel is about 6 foot. Oof.
So, Gray, when we look at this just from a big picture perspective, the Vikings lost in their game last night, but a win here really puts the Packers like firmly in contention right now in the NFC about halfway through the year.
Separating from the pack is 100% the goal at this point in the season. Gain a little bit of an advantage just in case you've got injuries stack up. Of course, hopefully getting injured players back like Christian Watson will allow us to do that, because we're going to have an offense on the field on Sunday that has made no tape. Both Matthew Golden and Christian Watson blowing the top off of defenses. Yes, they've got Jalen Ramsey. They've got capable defensive backs, but their coverage schemes have been a little messy and they've shown some gaps. Also, we mentioned the Aaron Rodgers versus Matt LaFleur. You know Aaron's going to be sharing everything, spilling like a giddy schoolgirl at the water cooler when it comes to game plans. But they haven't seen Jeff Hafley yet. Aaron Rodgers has been watching tape, but he hasn't played him yet.
We have a fun story to share. Mike Clemens actually got a question into Aaron Rodgers during the media availability this week, and it's a great story. So we'll share that coming up after the break. You're listening to Make the Call here on the Civic Media Sports Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to Make the Call on Civic Media.
Welcome back to Make the Call here on Civic Media and the Civic Media Sports Network. I'm Jimmy Cuska, and we wrap up the show by taking a look at some of our high school sports and some of the things coming up. But before we get to the high school playoffs and talk a little bit about what happened last night and what sets the table for now what would be the second round of the 11-player playoffs and the quarterfinals of the 8-player playoffs, is the Packers and Steelers playing on Sunday Night Football. Tomorrow night, Packers and Steelers, Aaron Rodgers comes back to play the Packers. And this week, our own Mike Clemens had a chance to ask Rodgers about some of the fun things he used to do when he was in Green Bay. Asked him about some of his fondest memories of playing for the Packers. Here's Mike Clemens talking to Aaron Rodgers.
Listen to your comments yesterday and the good times you had in Green Bay. And all I could think of was that here you are, the MVP. It's like 21 and you're in the back of a red pickup truck with your teammates crossing Oneida, holding up a case of beer. And I retweeted that. It got over 1 million hits of all the things you've accomplished.
Well, congrats for that.
I mean, what was happening that day? And talk about some of those times that maybe weren't so public.
Yeah, I mean, I don't remember exactly whose vehicle that was, but there was like a bunch of cases of beer in the back. So, you know, you guys would always take that walk back. And whether I was riding in the back of a truck or riding on that silly golf cart that D-Bot gave me, we were always messing around, having a good time. Those are some of the most fun. I mean, going way back, we had a crazy crew. I mean, some of the shenanigans and pranks that me and Brett Goode pulled on some of the rookies over at St. Norbert's, the constant battle between Flynn and Graham, and TJ Lang and Josh Sitton, what they would do on the road. It got so crazy, some of the pranks they were pulling, that Mike at one point said, you know, cut that shit out, no more of that stuff, because they were doing some wild stuff. But it's that stuff that I remember, the plane flights. You know, there was a time back then, we used to fly on a plane at 8 first class seats, and that was like, you know, Ted, you know, Bob Harlan into Mark and the brass and a couple of coaches, and all of us were in the 3x3 seats in the back. And we had this thing for a while where people just start throwing pillows and blankets at each other. Like when the plane was landed, guys that were sleeping, you know, if you were sleeping, Larry McCarron can probably attest to this, because he was always sitting like in a row in front of me. And there'd be guys like flinging the wrapped up blankets and rolling them up in the pillows at people. and waking, you know, there's always like, you know, some of the media was in front of us and you know, PR and community relations, they'd all be on the same plane and they were catching strays on the plane sometimes. So, you know, those things are great. It's like, you know, it was such a tight knit group for so long there, you know, I outlasted most of them, but it's fun. You know, that's why I feel so, you know, feel so good about my time there, because damn near everything great in my life is because of, you know, my football career. My football career starts and will end one day with Green Bay. So I got a lot of love for all those memories and a lot of great friends that I still carry with me to this day.
Again, it'll be the Packers and the Steelers in Sunday Night Football. That again was Mike Clemens talking to Aaron Rodgers at this week's media call. We're going to wrap the show up by talking about the high school football playoffs in progress and some of the games that could be heard on Civic Media's family of stations. In Division 7, not likely to have any of these games aired on our stations, but the division went largely chalked. The lowest seeds to win were number 5 seeds across the entire Division 7 bracket. Everybody else, most of the home teams, got victories in this, including top-seeded Cochrane Fountain City, Lourdes Academy, Kenosha St. Joseph Catholic, and Blackhawk Warren. There were a couple of upsets in Division 6, including 6th-seeded Crandon defeating Auburndale and 7th-seeded Belleville taking down Marquesan. But all of the number 1 seeds, Manitowoc Lutheran, Darlington, Regis, and Edgar, all got through. Edgar's game, by the way, was tied at 14 in the fourth quarter before Edgar pulled away at the end. As you heard on WRCO in Richland Center, it was Durand, Arkansas defeating River Valley 40-21 in Division 5. Again, all of the top seeds advance in D5, largely a chalk bracket with the lowest seed winning being a 5 seed. Tomahawk, Grantsburg, Lake Country Lutheran, and Mayville all advance. Over on WRPN, it was Ripon falling to Little Chute 40-2 in Division 4. 3 of the 4 6th-seeded teams upset the number 3 seed in their bracket, Platteville, Wrightstown, and West Salem. But again, all the number 1 seeds will move on. Racine St. Catharines, Winneconne, Aquinas, and Columbus. Also in D4, it was Altoona defeating Seymour 54-34 on the tap in Eau Claire. Division 3 saw the biggest upset of the night. 8th-seeded Whitefish Bay defeated New Berlin West, the number 1 seed in the bracket in D3, 31-7. Burlington took down the other New Berlin school. It was Burlington 26, New Berlin Eisenhower 14, a 6-over-3 upset. Another 6-over-3 in D3 was Pewaukee defeating Sauk Prairie 31-10. Top seeds Edgewood, Catholic Memorial, and Grafton all advanced in Division 3. The Division 2 bracket largely went chalk. Homestead, Notre Dame, River Falls, and West Appear, all number 1 seeds, all won easily, with Notre Dame and West Appear scoring 70-plus points in their victories. The biggest upset was 7th-seeded Nicolet defeating Holman 23-13. Division 1 featured a number of blowouts as well as a couple of overtime games. Number 1 seeds Muskego, Franklin, and Arrowhead all dominated in their matchups. 4th-seeded Racine Case defeated 5th-seeded Kenosha Bradford 34-6 over on WRJN here on the Civic Media Network. But indeed, there were some tight matchups across the state. 3rd-seeded Kimberly defeated Fond du Lac 28-21. Wanakee needed overtime as the number 1 seed to take down 8th-seeded Chippewa Falls 28-21. And 7th-seeded De Pere got an upset victory over 2nd-seeded Nina 28-27 in overtime. And the last football division is 8-player football, where they have moved on to the quarterfinals. The scores were top-seeded Flambeau defeating Frederick 38-20, McDonnell defeating Clayton 58-0, Lena St. Thomas Aquinas over Athens 14-6, Wabena Leona 28-14 over Valley Christian. It was Gilman defeating Owen Withy 55-8, North Crawford over Hurley 60-12, Oakfield downing Belmont 32-26, and Sevastopol over Marion Tigerton 50-16. The pairings of the quarterfinals are Flambeau and McDonnell, Lena St. Thomas Aquinas versus Wabena Leona, Gilman taking on North Crawford, and Oakfield versus Sevastopol. The winners move on to the semifinals next week, and then the state championship is held in Wisconsin Rapids. It's not just football in the playoffs. Today is the day of cross-country sectionals across the state. We'll actually be covering one of those sectionals on WCQM in Park Falls. That is in Division 3. Also coming up later tonight on Civic Media's family of stations will be WCQM in Park Falls covering Mellon and Prentice in girls volleyball in a regional final. That's your action coming up today. You can also catch the Badgers at Oregon, 4 o'clock pregame across the Civic Media Sports Network. And then, of course, the Packers and the Steelers tomorrow on many Civic Media stations. A big thanks to Jordan Tresky for joining us today, Jake Kokorowski, and to our roundtable panel of Greg Gunderson, Parker Olson, and Conrad Krieger. I'm Jimmy Kuska. You've been listening to Make the Call here on Civic Media. Have a great weekend.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.